What is up, guys? It is Stu. And are you tired of your social media copywriting sucking? Are you tired of being frustrated every time you try to type out the words that go with the photos or videos? I know that if I was talking to you, you could talk to me about it perfectly. You could articulate what it is you do and what problems you solve. But the second you go to type it out, you're just like, I don't know what hashtags, like, I don't know, I'll just say carpe diem. Like, you shit the bed when it comes to typing out your copy. Not anymore. I am now offering copywriting services for micro gym owners. We will get on a 1-hour call, you, me, and a copywriter that I've hired that works with my brand, Urban Movement, several other micro gyms, and we are gonna go ahead and discuss your brand specifically. Who is your avatar client? What are the micro problems that you solve for those people? How do you solve them? Are you a PT first gym? Are you straight to class? It doesn't matter because this is 100% tailored towards your business. No bullshit templates that I'm rinsing and repeating and giving to everybody. Everything is completely unique for you. And then at the end of the copy, the thing that really brings it home, and that's where the magic of a copywriting service comes in, we tie it all up and we allow the individual to, you know, visualize their success. What life would be like when they get rid of that problem via your business and service. That's the thing that makes copywriting copywriting. It's the thing that makes ads sell and people click on links. So if you're ready for your copy with your social media to actually start making you money and for it to actually resonate with your customer, to push your brand message forward and to put more members in your fucking building, shoot me a DM on Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram and we'll begin the process to see if it is a good fit for you and your business. Guys, thank you for listening. On with the podcast. What is up, guys? It is Stu. It is What the Fuck Gym Talk. And I have got my man, Boris, for another episode of Branding with Boris. Brother, how the fuck are you?
I'm great, man. Hello, everyone.
Good. What were you saying?
So it's just good to be back on the podcast. A lot of crazy shit's happened since we last spoke, but
Unless as we last spoke, I mean, we could rewind and talk about the CrossFit shit shows and the PR, the rebranding and all that stuff. But Boris and I talked, and what we thought would actually be really fucking cool is, which he gets a lot of questions on this. I definitely get a lot of questions. You guys will ping me and be like, all right, well, I really like what he's done for you and OPEX or whatever. Like, but what's it really like? Like, what am I going to get out of this? And it's like, why don't we just sit down and we go ahead and we look at a case study and a gym that you've taken and you've done a rebranding job with them, all their branding assets, logos, design, the theory behind it, the strategy behind it. And I want people to really walk away from this like, holy fuck, it's way more than just a cool logo and colors. There's so much more deeper thought there. And then I want us to highlight, you know, who we're going to highlight here. Jeremy down at Rage and CrossFit. I really want to highlight someone who is, you know, that dude has deep dove into the concept of rebranding and developing his own brand so much. Like, he's the story I tell everybody. He came to the Self-Made Summit after like his appendix burst. Like, he was literally like, they had to take him in for surgery and they're like, dude, you're not gonna be able to go to your little conference thing in Charlotte. He's like, can I get in 3 days earlier? Cause I'm going to this fucking conference. So he showed up. He couldn't do any of the micro gym crawl. He couldn't go to any of the gyms and work out because his shit was all stitched up. And he went and took it and he started working with you. And I've had a chance to work with him. And his new thing is great. And I'm really optimistic about it. And I think it'd be cool to tell that story.
Yeah, man. Jeremy's one of these guys. Like, when I first spoke to him and he started telling me this appendix story, I was like, what is wrong with this guy? But I'm like, that's dedication, right? And like, when I first spoke to Jeremy, it was like the passion was like off the charts, right? About like what he's already created with like Rage and CrossFit. And his whole thing when he came to me was, look, man, like, I can serve more people if I'm not a CrossFit gym. And this is before all the Greg Glassman bullshit and like all the craziness and people leaving CrossFit and all that sort of stuff. Like, for Jeremy, it was really about, you know, owning his own brand and like building a legacy that's his own and creating something bigger to serve people. And he's just that dude who's like, let's get it done. And yeah. And I love that about him. So yeah, I know you had experience working with him, so you would have felt that too.
Oh yeah, 100%. And not like, and so he's not only the passion of all that, but he's been in, he's 10 years in the game. Like he's OG, like, which is, that's generally the mind. That's one of the harder mindsets and beliefs to break, is the OG CrossFit affiliate who's like, nope, I'm sticking with this. And not that there's anything wrong with it. He just had bigger plans for his brand, and he wasn't going to allow what was comfortable and what he knew and what he was romantic about handicapping.
Yeah, totally. And to find someone who's been doing anything for 10 years and still have that level of like drive and fire and desire to evolve, and kind of like, because for him, it was basically, he's like, when he came to me, he said, like, I learned a little bit more about branding, and I looked at my stuff, and it just, I realized I'm going wrong in a lot of places and I don't know how to fix it. So like, he's just one of those guys who, like, a lot of the things add up, like he maintains his passion, he's willing to evolve, and he knows what he's not good at. So, you know, that's how we started talking. And
And it also helps he's a local celebrity, because he's a doppelganger of Drew Brees, and he caught all this local virality because he goes to the games and he got to meet Drew Brees. There was a whole fucking news segment on him. Sports Center covered it. I did a whole fucking vlog on an element of it was that whole thing. So anyway, Jeremy's the fucking man. Let's get into it. The way it's going to work, you guys listening on the podcast, you're still going to get a lot out of this. This will be definitely something you'll want to go back and visually go back and watch the video content. However, I'm going to put this out there, whether it's be a vlog or its own dedicated video, it will be published. It will be out there. But as me and Boris talk to this, I think you're still going to get a ton of value. Those of you that are podcasting it up right now and listening, to kind of the deeper details of what we're talking about. Because at the end of the day, it's not really what color it is or what the logo looks like. It's really the thought that we're going to talk about that you and Jeremy put into it, and like how he said this, you said this, and you co-created this visual experience. But again, the end visual thing is the sexy part. I think it's everything we're going to talk about that's going to be the real value add for everyone listening.
Yeah, totally. And I'm glad you said co-create, because – like, you can tell me, make me a logo for my gym and create a brand for me. And until I understand what it is that makes you special, what it is that, like, you get up for in the morning and who those people are, like, I can't create anything. I mean, I can make something that looks good, you know, on the surface, but this stuff needs to resonate deeply. So, like, everything about the branding is about evoking an emotional response from the audience. So. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we'll be talking a lot about. So, you know, whether you're watching, if you're watching, it's better. But if you're listening, you'll still get a lot out of it for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, let's go ahead. Let's kick up that screen share.
So, Raging Fitness Co. So, Stu said Raging CrossFit. That was before. Now it's Raging Fitness Co. And before we get into it, I just want to kind of like define brand for people again. Like, we've spoken about this a bunch of times, but basically, it's the sum of the perceptions that are held about you, your company, or your products. And then the act of branding is anything that you deliberately do to alter those perceptions. So that might include things like, there's a laundry list here, but some of them are like design of your identity, products and services, type of fitness that you offer, people you hire, your culture, how much you cost. Basically, everything that you do is part of your brand experience. With Raging CrossFit, we were focusing on a few of these because, you know, like, it's a huge undertaking to sort of revolutionize your whole business, which Jeremy is in the process of doing. But the part that I was helping with was the design of his identity. He was evolving the type of fitness that he offered, which was part of the reason for rebranding, the culture and how that's represented, the customer service you provide, because branding is a part of that. Online presence, events that he puts on, and the voice and messaging that goes out there. So anything that is in your business that anyone has any relation to, anything that your customer sees, hears, or like relates to, is part of the brand experience. So that's a good thing to keep in mind.
One thing I want to harp on while you're going over this. So in here, Boris has got all these different elements of branding, right? And one of the big things of branding, which I think a lot of people don't realize, your current clientele is they're a great extension of your branding. And sometimes that extension of your branding can be rogue. it can, like, it's out there. They're great customers. They love you. They'll pay you every month on time. But you really don't want them out there branding for you. Like, if you had your pick, you'd be like, oh, God, I really hope no prospective clients run into that one client. And oh, yeah. And I see this in the CrossFit world a ton. And generally, it's because a gym owner is a hobbyist in the beginning. He creates friends who happen to pay for this gym membership. And then those friends have a very skewed lens. They don't look at the gym like customers and transactional relationships like we want them to. They're going to talk about it like it's their buddy who has a really cool clubhouse with barbells. And then that talk at the bar, the coffee shop, the cocktail party, at work, it comes off completely fucked up in a bad brand message to a prospect who is looking for a transactional relationship. Most mm-hmm. people weren't looking for besties and friends. And I know we all love to fucking jerk off the community, but I think what one thing everyone's got to really think of, your current clients are your largest extension of brands. It's like having a bunch of unpaid 1099 workers running amok out there, potentially talking about you at any given second of the day. And if you've got a pocket of them that are saying shit that you're like, yeah, that does not fit with the culture and what I want, you really need to bring them in, say, you guys are brand ambassadors for me. And I would love if you would say things like this when people ask that question. When people ask what it is we do here, use this language. I had to do that at Urban Movement a ton. I had to make sure they didn't say, well, it's like CrossFit, but it's not like, you know, because that was not helping me at all. So we had to educate people on how to speak. So again, I didn't want to hijack the breakdown, but guys, your customers, your current ones, the OGs that you love and the brand new guy 2 weeks ago, they are all huge brand representatives. You need to arm them with the right words to explain what the fuck it is you do, who you are, and what the service you provide.
Yeah, man. Well said. This is why, like, branding is not an exercise to get people in and you're like, ha, got them. And now they pay me every month and it's all good. Like, branding keeps going, and branding and marketing to the people that are currently in your gym is super important, because it does frame that conversation that they have with people, so that, you know, it's not, oh yeah, my friend Jeremy, like, you know, oh, he'll write you a nutrition plan. He'll do it all. Like, before you know it, like, they're introducing you as a friend, like, date this guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what it's about. What's the professional service you offer and who's it for? So the more that you speak to your clients about that, the better. Getting into Jeremy, like, Jeremy is the client. Raging Fitness Co. is the brand. It was formerly Raging CrossFit. And I have some of these photos. There's a picture of Jeremy with Drew Brees. This was right around the time that I started talking to Jeremy. You know, it was the whole, like, official Not Drew Brees Instagram account came out, and he was going to the games and stuff, and he just kind of caught fire locally, which is really cool. But at the core of it, he's a business owner. He's got three daughters, wife, and he's just like a real family man. And what I really loved when I talked to him was his approach to the whole thing. So he's kind of aspiration for me, in a sense. Like, you know, he's managing to do everything and he seems to be doing it well, but he's very open and honest about how it is. I was excited to work with Jeremy, and basically the first question I had, like, why rebrand? Things seem to be going well. Like, you know, he was doing okay. His CrossFit gym was pretty successful, but he found that CrossFit was intimidating to people. He said, like, I'm convinced and I've heard from people, and these are two important distinctions. He's actually gone out and asked people if they would train at his gym if it wasn't a CrossFit gym. And people were like, yes, it is. So, like, don't just always go off your own assumptions. He actually went out and found out.
So they identified with him. They just didn't like what he was serving.
Exactly. They were like, I know you're saying it's safe and it's all good, but for me, it's just not for me. I can't see myself doing CrossFit. So that was one of the things. He knew he could get a whole bunch more people in if it wasn't a CrossFit gym. He wanted to expand the class offerings. He didn't just want to offer CrossFit. They have a program called Fly Fit, which is, like, you know, I think it's 45 minutes, like a quick cardio class. And they just wanted to expand. More than anything, he wanted to own his own brand, so that, you know, you're kind of like Master of Your Own Destiny. All of this stuff really came to bear in the last few months, with a lot of people exiting CrossFit and that sort of thing. The importance of owning your own brand. And if you have ambitions, like whether you want a franchise or you want to create something that you can sell, it becomes problematic. We've spoken about that before. If you're a CrossFit brand, then, you know, part of that, there's copyright issues and all that sort of stuff. But basically, he just wanted to own his own thing. And his current brand was really inconsistent. So he was very upfront that, like, they'd had a million logos, they had a million different ways of doing things and things looking, and none of it was consistent. So that was what he wanted to address with this rebrand. And for those of you listening, you might be able to see this, but this is
a fucking abortion. Like, this is a fucking dumpster fire right here, what we're looking at.
So this is crazy. Like, in the top left, we have his first logo from 2010, and it's classic CrossFit, like, murder scene. It looks like something out of a true crime documentary.
I'm going to be the descriptor here. It is a silhouette of a black silhouette of a guy sprinting into blood red, like splattered blood paint red that says Raging CrossFit in it. He literally looks like he's running into his own future demise and blown out rotator cuff. He has no idea where he's running to, but it's going to involve a blown out rotator cuff from his butterfly pull-ups is exactly where he's running.
Yeah, you did the descriptions, man. You're better at it. And then he has like a second logo, and then the latest logo is on the right hand side, which has a decent font. It's about Louisiana. It's got the state silhouette, and it's not bad. It has a nice picture of the community in the background, and this is like classic CrossFit, what used to work in like 2014.
His second logo here, my favorite thing, is the address, 815 Cajun Dome Boulevard. It almost sounds like that's what I would, if I was making fun of his logo, I'd be like, where are you located in Louisiana? Cajun Dome Boulevard. It sounds made up. That's like the most Louisiana fucking street name I've ever heard. Cajun Dome Boulevard.
But you know what? That'll come to bear, man. Because a big part of this is that, like, that Cajun pride and everything.
Cajun, the bayou, and you can see it here in the third iteration. He tried bringing the shape of the state into the logo, and he realized he needed to have some hyper local pride. You know, and again, if you're planning to be a one of one, you know, in your area, you just got to be super hyper local. And you know, anytime we put anything NC, like Charlotte related, on a shirt for Urban Movement, it fucking sells. It does great. Like, people love their local pride. So I love the progression here. He definitely got better, like most gym owners do. The early stages were just like ghastly, myself included, with everything. And it's just so fun to see that evolution.
I loved it. Like, looking back at that stuff, because I'm like, I know where you came from. And like, it is. Like, it's literally as he's learned about branding. It's his social media, I have nothing nice to say about. Because it's like, it was just... If you go into Canva and every single day you pick a new template with brand new fonts, colors, and everything, and just put your picture in it, that's what Jeremy's social media looked like.
Yeah. The only thing that was consistent was that it was actually being posted. Because he was using it like a lot of gyms, and I'm super anti this for gyms. Remember, guys, in my opinion, social media is a channel for prospects, not for customers. Customers will engage and like it, but you have them on site to create deeper bonds, relationship, and communication with. Your social media is meant to reach those that you don't have those relationships with yet. And what Jeremy did is what a lot of CrossFit gyms do. He posts the workout of the day, like he's CrossFit.com in 2006. But we all saw that, and Jeremy's an OG CrossFit guy. He saw that work for CrossFit.com creating a community. So he mimicked it, like myself included. I did that in the early days. I'm excited when we get to like the future of his social media, because this just needs to die. This needs to die, go in a time capsule, and he buries it on fucking Cajun Dome Boulevard and digs it up in 20 years and laughs at it.
I'm sure he will. Let me get back to this. So the other question I had, like, what makes it special, and like, what's this brand going to be about? And you know, Jeremy spoke about community, not within the gym, not people who hang out and work out together and like that, yay. More like the community as a whole, like Lafayette, where he lives, and all the like sporting teams and stuff. There's a real pride of place over there. So their support of the Raging Cajuns, I think they do some work with them as well. And just the fact that the gym is filled with good, hardworking people, just like Jeremy himself, right? And that was kind of the beginning of our conversation. And then we got into the process. So the way that this works, like if for those of you who've worked with me have gone through this, and those of you who haven't, this is kind of what it looks like. The first part is like discovery and strategy, where I learn a whole bunch about you. And this is the clear, it's called the Clear Brand Workshop. We sit down, we talk for 2 hours, and like I'll take you through all these questions, mission, vision, values, all your beliefs. And basically the goal is to learn as much about your brand and then figure out who to aim it at, discover that kind of ideal client avatar. So we know who we're talking to. That's the important thing in branding. You can't just be, you know, fire hosing everyone. You got to be laser focused with who you're talking to. The second part of the process is the design. This is what people commonly refer to as branding. It's the visuals. It's how things look and sound. And then the launch, which for me is all about putting the power in the owner's hands. Because if like I can create a really complex brand that I can deal with as a designer, and I can kind of, I understand the nuance of it, and I won't like make it inconsistent after 3 months. But what I really want is to build enduring brands so that Jeremy and his team can run with it for the next 3 to 5 years without it starting to look the way it used to. You know what I mean? Like there's no need to build a brand that's overly complex. It has to be able to be owned by the owner and his team. So that's how I approach the whole brand process. And Stu, like we went through this.
Yeah. I'm going to comment on the discovery and strategy part of this. And again, anyone listening, you've probably listened and engaged with my stuff because I've educated you about brand or marketing, whatever it is. But even when I was sitting there with Boris at, you know, early in the morning and he's grilling me in questions, it's one of the most uncomfortable things to be asked questions about your own thing. You know, I'll use Joe Tibaldi of Flex. The dude didn't have a website. I think he just got a website, and he's a website developer. It's just so hard when you have to do it for your own thing. You always have snow blindness because you're so close to it. It's the hardest thing to back away from and give a different kind of branding kind of discussion to. And it helps having someone like Boris, who is simply a third party looking at it with his education and background, and is able to just poke like the right embers of the fire and just get that thing blazing strong. And next thing you know, you're having this conversation with Boris and shit's coming out of your mouth, and you guys are having discussions of stuff that have always been little nuggets in your head, but they never became like it was a gas or a liquid. It becomes a solid. And that's what I really felt happened with my discovery and strategy mission and the Clear Brand Workshop working with you, was it just took these little things and just allowed them to become a solid and take shape in life.
It's awesome, man. I'm glad, because oftentimes it's all these things are uncovered through conversation. Like we're all busy, right? When do you ever get to sit down with someone who knows what they're talking about for 2 or 3 hours and just like ask them to your brain? Like they're going to talk about themselves, they don't care, like, you know. No one's going to give you that time of day. So like when you sit down for that purpose alone, all those things that have kind of been percolating and all of those things that you're like, oh man, I saw that thing and like I kind of have that here, but I can't really put my finger on, all the stuff that's like at the tip of your tongue tends to come out in these conversations. And I just kind of sit there, I take notes, I record everything, and then look back on it and try to uncover those deeper elements of your brand and your business that might seem trivial, but they're actually the really big things. People think that the big things are like, what are our classes like? It's really, how do you make people feel? And that's what tends to come out.
Yeah.
Next up is, like, this was Jeremy's mission. So I'll just go over this next bit fairly quickly. But basically his mission was to build a place where those who've never belonged feel completely accepted and everyone's encouraged to be their best. Now, this was, you know, usually the answer tends to be something like, you know, bring functional fitness to everyone or something along those lines. But for Jeremy, it was really about inclusivity and belonging. And, you know, anyone who's an outcast feels really at home there. So that was a really big kind of light bulb moment for me. I was like, this is really interesting. This is going to be a different kind of brand for this guy. Their values were to keep it clean. They're a family place, so like language, and it still would get fired in 30 minutes basically. Clean language, clean music, everything. It's like a real wholesome family vibe. Everybody's equal, And the way Jeremy described it is like everyone puts their equipment away. And like, even if you're my best friend or you started last week, the way that your membership is treated is exactly the same. Include everyone, no clicks, all of that. Like, Jeremy's OG CrossFit, so he's been through all the shit of like clicks being created in his gym and, you know, bad culture. When you don't control the culture, it controls itself and it ends up controlling the destiny of your business. So like, that's one of the main things that I think people need to focus on is like, you set up the culture, and I know you speak about this too. And his last value was treat others how you want to be treated. Like, one of the things that he said was, you know, being polite isn't like a surprising thing here. It's an expectation. So you can already get a sense of like what this thing's going to feel like, right? His beliefs about fitness were that it's all about bringing balance to your training based on where you're at in life. You know, they have families, you have, you know, college athletes and stuff that train there as well because they're a university town. So all kinds of different people, but, you know, training tailored to like their stage of life. Their beliefs about nutrition is just about nailing the basics and building good habits. Coaching, professionalism, personality, and character make great coaches to Jeremy. And I think that can be unpacked because like, it's good to be friends with people and stuff, but you know, we've all been to those gyms where the coach is too relaxed, phone on the floor, all that sort of stuff. So defining all of that is super important. And then beliefs about life. And this might seem strange for like people who contact you and go, oh, make me a logo for my gym. And I'm like, well, what do you believe about life? Like, I know you were like, that's a weird question, but it helps me to understand how you treat people and how people interact with your business. And for Jeremy, a good life is a balanced life. So, you know, he, like I said, he's a family man and a lot of his clients are very much the same way. So the reason that I ask all these kinds of questions, everything from values to beliefs about the actual services you offer, is because things come out in these conversations where we uncover how we can relate to people. Then the last part of the workshop is an ideal client. So we really want to find that one person, that one type of person who's going to resonate the most with what you're putting out there. There's no point talking to everyone. And I say like creating these ideal client personas is about speaking to a specific someone instead of a generic everyone.
No, you're good. What I was going to say was,
the one thing I love that you do with this is you actually attribute a name to each, and you call it persona, I call it an avatar, but like to each, you have a male and female persona that you're talking to here. And I love that you actually give them, it humanizes it and allows people to actually think of this person, but you got, it's Max and Rachel here. And I just thought that was super unique the way you did that.
Oh, appreciate that. It was just, yeah, I don't know. It's how I was taught by my mentor. She used to do that. So I was like, I can't take too much credit for it. But basically what I do is I do give them a name, because then when you're having discussions with your team and they're like, you know what, we should start a weightlifting class. And it's like, what is that going to do for Rachel, you know, who is in here just to like, you know, lose some weight and have some fun?
Who is this guy? You know, swear to God, I know this guy. This picture of this guy, is he a real person?
He's obviously a real person, but yeah, no, he's an android. This is from, if you don't know, unsplash.com, really great. Like, you can get high resolution photos. And what I do is I go on there and I just try to find the person that matches what we've spoken about in this workshop. And I try to put a face and a name to this person, because it, like Stu said, it humanizes them. And, you know, sometimes when I'm creating brands, I'll like print a picture out of these people and like keep it on my desk so I remember who I'm creating for.
But basically, I swear to God, I've met Max before. Whoever this fucker is, I swear to God, he looks so familiar and is going to drive me insane.
I'm going to go back and see the photo, and if it's from Charlotte, then you're going to freak. So basically, with Max and Rachel, like, the things you want to know about them is like, what are their goals? Where's their attention? What are the qualities that they have? Because then you can start to match those things for them. And I should say, like, sometimes there's a distinct male avatar and a distinct female avatar. In a lot of cases, it's quite similar because their behaviors and their beliefs and their value systems tend to be similar. So like we can brand based that. So you don't have to divide everything into demographics because, you know, behavior and culture and beliefs kind of tend to transcend that. But their goals were to get in shape, be fit for the life, and enjoy living outside of the gym. So it's not all about just getting after it in the gym. And this is already the distinction from, you know, old school CrossFit, where it was all about living the CrossFit lifestyle and everything was about the gym. Their attention is on their family, it's on socializing, and they pay a lot of attention to social media. Like that's kind of where they spend a lot of their time. And their qualities as people is that they're respectful, optimistic, and very helpful. So this kind of formed the discussion about who they are, what they do. The part that I left out on this, just because it was going to be too long, is we get into like, what does their lifestyle look like? And you can do this at home for yourself. Like, what does their lifestyle look like day to day? Like, map out a day in the life of your ideal client. And you can use someone as reference that you already know, that you already have in your gym that you love. But really think about like, what is the minutiae of their life? Like, what are these small, seemingly insignificant details that could make all the difference when you're trying to talk to this person? We uncovered some of their pain points as well. So with pain points, it's interesting to have that conversation because it surfaces problems that you can then create the solution to. And that's what, like, people aren't coming to you because, you know, you have the nicest fit out in town of a gym. They're coming to solve a problem. You know, that's essentially what we try to do with branding, is answer the problem of someone who you can actually help. Basically, for them, they're struggling to get into shape they like. They can't find the guide that they trust. Trust was an important thing. We want to build trust through the brand. Then a lot of them, Jeremy said, were new in town, and they didn't. They wanted to meet people, and they didn't know anyone there. They felt invisible at other gyms, and they wanted to move safely. So, you know, some of you guys might be hearing a lot of your ideal clients in this persona or avatar, but then we created like a list of what can you do. The first thing was like, obviously remove CrossFit from the name to attract people who've been discouraged by the baggage and the intimidation factor. But there were a few other things, like teaming up with local businesses, creating a welcome to town page on the website, lists, you know, best restaurants, grocery stores, barbershops.
I love that, by the way. I love that. I think that's amazing. I think that's such a great play.
I love it because, and it works, because I did it with Melissa from Opex Cura, and she's like in San Mateo, California, and we did this for her, and she has like all her favorite coffee shops and has a little like tip as well, like, you know, order this off the menu. So it's really about being part of the community and not just saying like, because when people say like, I want to be a leader in health and fitness in our community, oftentimes what they're really saying is, I want everyone to come to me for fitness and pay me money. But to actually be involved and hype up other local businesses and stuff like that is a big play. And Jeremy took this and ran with it. And I'll talk about that a little later, but they have a really interesting campaign that I know everyone's going to steal. So the plan off the back of this. So like, this is a process that takes about at least a month. This first strategy piece, and I call it like the work before the work. It's the stuff that no one sees. People see the end result, but this is what sets the foundation for it all. So the plan is really to speak to the emotional side of the ideal client, communicate Lafayette pride, and create a welcoming attitude. So the next part of this is I go out and I hunt for inspiration. I look at blogs, I look at other gyms, I look at competition and everything, and try to kind of put together a bit of a mood board of like, A, what's going to represent this gym and the people in it accurately, and B, what's going to be attractive to that ideal client. So this was like my first mood board. And just a reminder, this is around the time when the whole Drew Brees thing is kicking off. And I think it clouded my judgment a little bit, where I was leaning heavily towards, you know, the Saints, black and gold, those colors. And I thought it was more about, you know, the Saints for Louisiana, but turns out I was wrong. But anyway, this was the first concept, and basically bold, some friendly stuff, some kind of like vintage inspiration, but heavily driven by Saints pride and that sort of thing. And in the top right, left-hand corner on the screen, there's these shirts that Jeremy did. And Jeremy is, he might as well be a fashion label, but when I was looking through his Instagram, there were like at least 20 Raging shirts with 20 different Raging logos on them. If that's done under a system and a structure, there's nothing wrong with that, because it'll all kind of still look like a family, but this stuff just looked all over the place. But I really did love this like Louisiana outline map and this black and gold shirt. So that's what inspired.
What I love is you're taught. So in Micro Gym University, with the clients I work with, I taught everybody have an inspo folder, just an album on your phone, like with your camera, there's an album, and you take screenshots or real photos or videos of shit you see in life that you're like, oh, I just like the way they did that. Or I like the way the font's positioned, or that's a neat logo, or that's a clever sign. And you create an awesome, like I've got a running one. I probably have 400 fucking images in it and of different things I've seen that just, I thought I stopped. Right. As a consumer, I wasn't out looking for inspiration. I was going about life, and I bumped into something in life that I was like, oh, fuck, that's pretty fucking clever. Let me just get a picture of that. And then, you know, later on at night with a whiskey and a J, I can sit around and just look through that inspo folder and think to myself, cool, what can I pull from here? What is it that I like? And that's essentially what you do here with your clients. You know, I remember the one that we did, and I just, a great tip for everyone here, have an inspo for inspiration folder in or album in your camera phone, and just have that shit and take photos in real life and digitally screenshots of things that excite you.
100%. And I have one on my phone. I have one on my computer because, you know, like the other day I was on someone's website, and you know how everyone has the social media icons. Everyone's got the Facebook icon, the Instagram icon. This dude just had a circle, and it was in the Instagram gradient, in the Instagram color, and a circle in blue for Facebook. And I'm like, that's clever.
Yeah. You know, he didn't like bow down to the standard logo like we all do. He just did. Because the colors are such, the brand's so strong that we all see the colors and we associate it with the platform.
Exactly. And he elevated it to a point where the person who recognizes that feels a little bit good about themselves, because I can be like, I'm smart. I know what that is. You know, and it's like just a gimme. But logo design round one, and I will say, like, I got it wrong, and I often do in the first round. This happens. Like, this is a, like I always say, this is co-creation, this is a collaboration, and it's a process. So I might throw something out there and you might go, you know what, like, I don't think that fits. Like, when I look at our strategy and then I look at this, it doesn't connect, and you'll understand why as we go on. But
hold up, I want to see your fuck up.
This is my fuck up. I love that R on the shirt, and I'm thinking like Raging, right? I think I was like a little bit too focused on the name. I'm like, this needs to be like aggressive and power, and like, you know, even though like, and like then when rage, we do the brand, like we can,
yeah, like let's go fucking rage like that.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, the welcoming vibe and stuff, we can do that later on in the brand through the language and stuff, but I think the logo should be like Raging. So it's this like R as a thunderbolt thing, and you know, and like this vintage font and stuff, and like it looks cool, I think.
It reminds me, like, if I were gonna buy like a motorcycle, I'd buy from those guys, right? Like, it just
Raging motorcycles in Lafayette. Yeah. and then I did, like, you know, I recreated kind of that Louisiana state map with the logo in it, and I made a shirt, and you know, I sent it to Jeremy, and he was like, first of all, no, like, he felt it was too aggressive, and he was
like, polite about it. He's like, listen here, you fucking wallaby kissing motherfucker. Like,
No. He was polite. He was polite in his email. I just know how to read it. You know, like, and I gotta say, like, even if he came out and he was like, no, that's cool. Like, I've fixed it. It's all good. But no, Jeremy was a perfect gentleman. He was like, look, I haven't been through this process, so I'm not sure. Like, can you tell me, you know, if I've got it wrong? But it doesn't feel right. So for him, it was like too aggressive. And he also said, like, it should be more the Cajuns' colors, not the Saints' colors. So that was really their super local team. So then, you know, you go back to the drawing board. And for me, when, like, after this kind of first round and review, I just go back to the beginning and I just look at everything again. And then I start the whole process all over again, basically. And for me, I just have to remember, like, who we're creating this for. It's hardworking people who are kind and they share our values. So that aggression and stuff like that wasn't fitting, you know. And this is what happens. Like this, like when I say it takes a month, and you know, we're looking at different inspiration and we're having different conversations about, you know, this type of, like, you know, we have this program for athletes and we also have this program for everyday people. Like, what I hear can sometimes be misinterpreted by me. So, like, if I'm misinterpreting it and I'm the brand guy, like, you better get clear on how you're communicating to people out there, because if I can misinterpret it, they can too.
And real quick, going back to what you said, your solution was going back to the beginning. It's like every good detective movie where they can't crack the case and then he goes back to the original pictures and, you know, from the crime scene that he first looked at. And that's always where the clue is that cracks the case. And I mean, even for Urban Movement, when I'm stuck on something, I always, always go back to the original charter, the core values, everything. And the answer is always back at the stuff you started with, because you go down this journey and you start getting distracted by things and you start thinking of new things. And again, but always just go back to where you started. And in most things, business, branding, whatever, that's generally where the majority of the solutions and answers live.
100%, man. That's so true. I never thought of it like that. TV show, this is like the most mellow SVU episode that exists. So yeah, it was just coming back to that. And then I created a new mood board, and you know, I brought some of those colors in. Like, I had, you know, Raging Cajuns in there, and I realized it would have to be a lot more of this, like, throwback, you know, 1950s, like, hand painted signage and stuff, like this kind of handmade, handcrafted vibe. And it's interesting, actually, there's like three photos of people training at Raging, and they have three different Raging shirts on. So to prove my point, but basically I realized that it needed to be a whole lot friendlier and take the aggression out of it and bring the welcoming attitude. And this is the logo that we came up with. Now it's based on a nice geometric but rounded font that's quite friendly. So when you round corners and stuff, it adds a friendly vibe. And I just kind of made it so it creates its own box, and so it can really stand on its own. Like, you don't always have to have an icon to make something stand out. Like, Urban Movement doesn't have an icon either. You have the box around it. You know, a lot of the best brands, when you start looking around, and brands that you love, where you're like, man, I love that. It looks so clean. But for my logo, I want a guy snatching a barbell. Like, you know, this is what happens to us. We try to over-explain through the logo, but just remember that with the logo, you're just trying to evoke an emotion. And this was it for Raging.
And I love this. So if we're just looking at it as a non, you know, design, visual creation, brand expert like Boris, I look at this and my feelings as, because I, you know, looking at the first one, looking at this, it's much cleaner. It doesn't look extra like that R did with the Thunderbolt originally. But the nice thing that I love is that you have the tail of the R and the tail of the N in Raging. They're wild enough, like they're creating the box around it to where there is a little bit of umph there. Like I feel like Raging. I feel like Raging can't be in soft cursive, right?
No.
It's got to have some flair to it. And I think you nailed it. That the way that R is done and then how it connects with the N gives it just enough. Everything else looks super clean. I thought, yeah, what a great recovery in the second half. You did great.
Justin, man, you got a call an audible, man.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the colors, like, so Cajuns are like red and orange, and the Saints are black and gold. And I'm like, what if I combine those two? And because I don't want to just rip off a football team's colors, right? Like, you still have to create something unique that's going to speak to your audience. I don't recommend for people when you're doing your branding, like, just go to the local sporting team and rip off their colors. That's not the play. The reason it was the right play for this is because people are so proud, and because Jeremy looks like Drew Brees so much that, like, there's already that little bit of, like, micro fame. if you have that in your pocket, use it. But yeah, so I kind of combined what people love, all of it, into this thing, and it came out with this like really nice color scheme of like this deep red and this really nice gold. And then comes the other real work, which is the brand identity. So a lot of people kind of do the logo and they stop, which is Jeremy's previous attempts were like, he had a logo and then he just went wild with whatever template there was on Canva that day. So the brand identity is where we start to form things like colors. And I had four colors for him, but we identified that the red and the gold were going to be the main ones. And when it comes to branding, the fewer colors you have, the easier it is to create that consistency. The more colors you're playing with, the more complexity you're also playing with. So it's something to keep in mind.
Do you typically recommend a palette of two main colors and two main fonts? I mean, just for, I know it's hard to generalize that kind of a recommendation, but.
I usually like two base colors and at least one like neutral color. So like you might have, like here, he has a red and a gold. We have a gray or like a slate kind of color that can be the neutral that you can use for backgrounds and stuff to kind of like just add a little bit of harmony. And then one highlight color, he has the orange, which is very rarely used. But I would say, you know, use your main color about 60% of the time, your secondary color about 30% of the time, and then the other two, like 5% of the time, just to evoke kind of accents and highlights. But fonts, no more than three, I usually say. Like, it's too much to handle. But the main font for him, for the heading, is the same font that I used in the logo. That's not always the play to make, but for him it is, because the font is so homely and wholesome and friendly that I think it's the perfect fit. A nice clean font for the body copy that's easy to read. And then there's also this script that comes alive in the culture kit, which is the next part, which the culture kit I want to talk a little bit about. This is the stuff that you see from SoulCycle, from Berries, from Lululemon, from your local coffee shop, that you're like, oh man, that's great branding. The logo is nowhere to be seen on it, right? This is Sweat Local with Urban Movement. This is like, you know, probably the best workout in Charlotte. Like, these are the things that connect people emotionally to the brand without you needing the logo on it. Like, branding used to be easy, bro. Like, it used to be create a logo, pick a font and a color, and stick it on newsletters, on letterheads, and with compliment slips, because that was a thing.
Now it has to resonate on a fucking coaster and a hat, and it's got to be on a wall somewhere, and where the hell is it going to be on the bag that the coffee muffins come in? Like, it's just got to be
You got to think about shit like, what's the sticker on the bathroom mirror going to say in the gym when people are taking a selfie? Like, these are things you have to think about. And if part of your business is selling merchandise or offering events and stuff like that, there's only so many ways you can stick the logo on a shirt before people are like, fuck, I already have three Raging Fitness Co. shirts or like Urban Movement shirts. I need something different. So this gives you the chance. So when I create these culture kits of like what's going to connect emotionally, I go back to the beginning again, to the strategy, and figure out like, what are the values and how do we connect them?
This is so Jeremy, good. This is so good.
Yeah, so this is like, I'm using his main font and I'm using that script that I spoke about to really create this this kind of craftsman vibe, this really like just wholesome, like I would describe it as. And it's just a bunch of good people having a good time getting fit. And
so now
this is, it's a, yeah, and this is the kind of thing that you arm your people with.
Yes.
So when they talk about you, like we spoke about earlier, it's like, what do they do there? Oh, it's kind of like CrossFit, but not really. Like, they used to be a CrossFit. Like, you don't want them to have that conversation. Oh, it's just a bunch of good people having a good time getting fit.
Yeah. It's, you know, like we used it with our day one branding in the beginning. It was like, you know, you're going to meet people you love, or you'll find a workout you love and people you love working out with. Like, just super, the more simple it could be and the more layman that how people talk, the better. The premier fitness facility in Charlotte, North Carolina. Like, fucking shut the fuck up. Nobody says that. Like, that's not real words.
Well, I train at the like not exactly.
Yeah.
The way to think about this is have that conversation, like have it to yourself. Like you describe your service to someone. Record yourself on your phone and then play it back and see how it sounds and see if it sounds enticing.
Yeah,
right?
That's a great tip.
So this was it for them, you know, like this is how people can talk about it. How do we communicate that? Keep it clean value. Families are our heartbeat. Please keep it clean. Words, beats, and space. So like already, you know, in a very nice way, you're setting expectations of people because, you know, you can have a bunch of adults walk into a gym and there's a wall of rules and they're like, the fuck, I'm not seven.
Yeah.
You know, but you put this on the one, they're like, yeah, man, I want to be a part of this. You know, because like it matters to me as well.
Because culture dictates the community. You control the culture and then the community, regardless of who's in it, is correct. Whereas most CrossFit gyms are like, my community is awesome. And what they're talking about is they're talking about a handful of people they know by name because they went to their bar mitzvah and the wedding and they see them on the weekends. Community should be, does not matter who's in it. It should be the same community all the time because community is not people. It's just any group of individuals who have raised their hand and said, I agree with the culture here. I like the culture here. I will help pronounce and push forward the culture here. That is the community. It's not individual.
Yeah. I like what you said, man, that you build the culture and the community follows it because otherwise the community builds the culture.
Correct, 100%.
That's how you get things like, you know, like how many of you have had members like say, oh, I feel left out because that's like the in crowd and the coach only pays attention to those people.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you, Stu. Like, I doubt you knew this from day one, right? Like,
no.
Have you had that situation where like the culture was all fucked up because you didn't control it?
2014 and 13 and right around there, I started seeing this, like again, the group of people who now no longer, they came to me looking for fitness and then they were crying in February, March, because someone beat them in the open. And I just instantly realized I allowed a culture where I embraced this sport thing. And maybe I embraced it with the CrossFit Open once a year for 5 weeks. And then I embraced it again by getting everyone together to watch the CrossFit Games. And then I embraced it again when this thing happened. And I'm like, no wonder I have people who are crying when they're not doing well in an open, when they showed up less than 6 months ago and all they said is, hey, I used to swim collegiately and I haven't done anything in a while. And I'd like to get back into a group thing and have a coach. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And now they fucking have 15 pairs of Olympic weightlifting shoes and they called their mom that they think they might move home because their life is ruined because they didn't make it through the, like, I instantly was like, I allowed my culture to be dictated by the sport of CrossFit. No more. Gotta nix it. It's gotta go. That was like one of my first real big, like, yep, okay, we gotta change this ASAP.
Yeah. And that would have hurt you because, like, not just as a business, but like, you know, all the people I talk to want to help people, right? And then you're like, you're on the path to helping them, but you unconsciously created something that's like hurting them, right? Like, now they're not winning this fantasy fitness competition.
Yeah, but it's a problem. Yeah, but it's also because you spent 10 minutes in class teaching people that a muscle up and doing this thing that 1% of the gym population, probably the owner and a couple coaches can do, this is the pinnacle. What if you would have never shown that, kept that in your pocket, never, ever, ever shown that and talked to people about, you know, good form on a ring row, a modified pull-up and strict pull, like you could completely change it. And we did that with Urban. Like now it's so funny. We just released, we didn't even talk about this beforehand. I got to send you a link to the movement service announcements. I have MSAs now, movement service announcements, where we talk about our progression of fitness and some of the exercises we do and why we do them that way. And it's just like, I think about if I would have had this mentality in 2012, 13, like, things would have been a lot different, but I had to lose a lot of clients, lose a lot of money and learn it the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. I felt bad about myself because I couldn't do strict muscle ups. I've gotten one muscle up in my life and the achievement died down pretty quickly. And the utility of a muscle up is not that great. I'm not falling off cliffs. I'm not Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. The most anyone does a muscle up is getting out of the pool. And that's not even a remote, it's like, and that's the end of it. It's like you dipped yourself out of the pool and that was it. Like that's the closest thing.
Where you don't need it because you have water.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, or you could just walk
badass. Like, this was a culture thing.
Yeah.
So this is the culture thing for Raging. And then, you know, Louisiana Pride, like proudly Lafayette, Louisiana, and it's a map and it's just a love heart. Like, iconography exists and you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, the love heart is universally known. How can you insert it and it instantly says something?
And this is great. I can see this on a custom barbell end cap. That's a great circle. Yeah. Like, look, I've got your logo right here on the hat that you did for us, the icon for the Sweat Local. It's, you know, that's a circular, like, it's so nice when you have, and again, you could talk this, like, you start looking at, when you have more of a square defined shape, it's nice to contrast it with a circle. Circle has a different feeling when you look at it versus a sharp square, that kind of thing.
It's a lot friendlier.
Yeah.
And I did play with an idea of actually, like, making the logo in a circle, but it didn't work nearly as well as what we ended up going with. But, yeah, this is, you know, this is how you create these things. If you know that people love where you live, give them a chance to experience that through your brand. And another one of the map and using the fonts. And then this was the one that really defined everything, and it's work hard, stay kind. And this is like, people can take this and run with it to every part of their life. And that's what's really kind of cool about this brand. And Jeremy really embraced this, and he has it on shirts and everything. And he said the people, and this is what makes me happy, this is how I know I've done my job. The people who he was envisioning as like the ideal client came in, and when they saw this, were like, this is part of why I choose you. Like, this is the thing. No one, like, when does a gym say this, you know, and mean it? And the other thing about this is, like, if you're going to put something like this out there, you better, like, deliver on it. The product better match what you're saying. And Jeremy is just one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. He takes care of people. But it's something that people can align themselves with and put a stake in the ground. Like, I work hard and I stay kind no matter what. Like, this is the culture. This is how you set it up. So this became, like, the main brand idea. For Raging Fitness Co. And then the next part of it is we run the brand into action through Rachel's eyes. So we identified her as the ideal client, and everything that follows is how do we deliver Raging Fitness Co. to her in the best way possible, and like address every single brand touch point so that everything's curated. And that she feels like this is a place that really has it together, and I trust them with my health and my fitness. So most people are going to find you on social media or some variation of it. They might come across your website, but it needed to look clean. And Stu, you spoke about like not having the workout of the day on there. We still have it because I had that discussion with Jeremy, and he said people have actually seen what it is and have come in and said kind of like, you know, I thought it would be too hard, but I saw what people were doing and it didn't look too bad.
Yeah.
Now, we evolved it. Sorry, this is the Instagram now.
Yep, it looks great. Before.
So like, it's really nice shape. Jeremy has two new people, Nick and Ashley, on his team, and they do a phenomenal job at the social media. And you can see top left, Jeremy's coaching. He's wearing work hard, stay kind shirt, and it looks good. It fits in.
Yeah. No, this looks great. And again, like going back to, you know, Jeremy, and what we're looking at here is just a very good, clean, these social media templates that Boris creates for his clients. We have them at Urban, and it at the end of the day, it's got to be your style. I could sit here and be like, I could have 1,000 reasons why I don't think you should do it. But at the end of the day, nobody knows your brand better than you. Not my ass, nobody. Like, and I love that he, and again, because Jeremy has been a client. He's paid to come to the Self-Made Summit. For all other intents and purposes, I have influence over Jeremy, but that's what I love about him as an entrepreneur. He allows people to influence him. He listens, he learns, but he makes his own goddamn decisions because he's a man, he's a business owner, and he understands that this is his thing and it's got to have his own flavor. He could have just been like, oh yeah, Stu says not to put back squat 1111 on it because nobody knows what the fuck that is. But I see it through a different lens because I'm literally here in the trenches all day, and I think he nailed it. I think he absolutely fucking nailed it.
Thank you. And the way that I, like, the kind of I said, all right, cool. If we're going to do this, you know, like daily workout of the day, you have to relate it back to the person who's never done your class before, right? Yeah. You're not just marketing to the person who's in there. And in their template, they have back squat, split jerk, whatever the workout of the day is, but there's an explanation of the benefits of the back squat here, an explanation of the rep scheme, and paint a picture of what their body and fitness will look like if they regularly do this type of exercise.
Yeah.
That's how you relate it back to the client.
Yeah. You added context to it that now, again, there's educational and entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think back in the day, gym owners would just put the workout up there as kind of a dick swing, you know, for a second.
Yeah.
But now with that, because there was no education there, that was just kind of entertaining more or less. Yeah. Now there's education behind it. You guys, this is phenomenal.
Now there's context, and there's another slide that like isn't shown here, but that we added later on, which is, you know, coach's tip for the day, like how to approach the workout, like why, the insight. And then it finishes, this carousel thing finishes with a call to action. A lot of people miss that part. Like if they've scrolled that far, they're pretty interested. Make it easy for them, you know, book a free class. Then comes like, this is what I love doing, is like inserting branding where it's not expected. We have all joined gyms that, you know, we're like, all right, cool. This looks like a good place to train. And you go to sign that fucking contract and it looks like they're going to lose it because it doesn't look like they've put any effort.
Like a mortgage. You're like, what the heck? It becomes a non-brand touch point. It becomes like, just like, it looks like the same DocuSign that my lease had and the same DocuSign that my car payment had and the same, like everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I like flipping that on its head and being like, this is also a part of the brand experience. Like you're signing a contract. Like, thank you for trusting us with your health and fitness. Here's this beautiful thing. Sign it, you know, it's part of the experience. So that's for the contract. It's the same for the waiver, and they're color coded so that, you know, when your front desk person is really busy, they just reach for the red one and they reach for the gold one. They don't have to think too hard about it. They don't have to do any reading.
And I love, because right now we have these, and these are paper assets, right? And I think everyone listening or to the watching, whatever it is going to be like, paper, I do everything digitally. Here's the deal. You can obviously have both. Like you can 100% have this exact template, have a digital DocuSign. You could. The bottom line is you're taking what's expected, a training membership agreement, a training membership contract, and you're doing the unexpected. And that's the fucking key.
Exactly. And for me, like there's forever this fucking battle between like what's cool to do as a branding person, and what's right to do as like an environmentalist, and like less paper is good, like, and a smooth online experience. But like signing a waiver in Waterfly is not a pleasant experience.
No.
Sorry, Waterfly. It's not. Like there could be, someone could make that a pleasant experience, and let's see if they do. But for now, like I think there's something to signing a physical piece of paper. And then the other thing is, who sends mail anymore, right? But I think you should send a welcome letter to this person so they receive it in the mail, like after they've already signed up, and it just tells them a little bit about it, just hand signed. And it's just nice. It's just nice to get mail that isn't a bill or junk mail anymore, right? So it's all about, like you said, the unexpected, like add delight where it's unexpected.
Yep.
Greeting cards is another thing that I reckon, like, let's remember, this is for Rachel. Like she's going through the journey now. Like, you know, she saw us on social media, she came in, she signed up, and now she's been there for a while, and maybe she helped out on the weekend, introduced herself to a whole bunch of new people, made people feel welcome. And she receives this card, like, you know, you're truly wonderful. Then, you know, Max, the other ideal client, maybe he gets married or something like that, and there's a congratulations card. And you can, like, send these out on, you know, you can buy Hallmark stuff, or you can have your own, and you can make it part of the brand experience, but you don't make it, you're not like, congratulations on getting married, here's a 20% off coupon for your new spouse.
Yeah.
You know, get them to come in. It's not about that.
Yeah, there's no call to action.
One thing I want to...
A random act
of... No. Yeah. It's just like, I want you to feel good. Because if people feel good, they're going to talk well about you, and they're going to talk nicely about you, and they're going to invite their friends in because they're like, hey, you know, the last person I referred them to was like this super angry meathead coach, and my friends don't trust me. You know, we've all been there. But the other thing, like once you start to, like I zoomed in on this thing where it says, we're really happy for you. Once you understand the language and the feel that the brand is supposed to have, you can start to experiment, and this thing starts to filter into every single part of the brand. So now, like, even if Jeremy sends a text message to someone or his coach writes something on a whiteboard, this idea of creating a vibe of like kindness and friendliness and welcoming exists, so that you can start to play with language and you can start to really, you have a foundation for how you communicate. And I think that's one of the main things that people struggle with is, you know, they go to post something on social media or update their website. They don't really know what to say. They don't have the foundation. So like, I think this helps a ton, like understanding who you are and who you're serving. So, and then everyone loves merchandise. So just a couple of shirts and like in the red and the gold. It's just, these things exist now. And if Jeremy wants to do a run of t-shirts, it's easy for him. He doesn't have to hire anyone. He doesn't have to do anything extra. The work is already done.
So funny. We're looking at the retail now that you've created, you know, these, and most gyms I talk to, like, retail's not really that big of my thing. Yeah, we sell some shirts, it's whatever. And it's generally a consequence of not having good branding assets that can go on retail, or, you know, because I asked the gym owner, I'm like, cool, well, what do you buy? And I can find, like, whether they're a sports fan or they've traveled to a city and they bought some of this stuff, or they're a Lulu head or whatever it may be. They engage with retail. You know, your clients are engaging with retail. Why don't you have good retail? You know, I generally try to get the average client. I want spending 10% of their monthly membership due. So let's say it's $200 a month, an average of $20 a month in retail. And that might not be $20 every month. It might be 1 month zero. The next month, they buy a hoodie and a fucking a t-shirt, right? Like, whatever it may be. But it's just one of these things that great branding assets that tie to everything, and you start seeing it everywhere. That is really what makes good retail. That's honestly it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. I think it's like the money's there to be made, right?
Sure.
Like, if you do it, and especially if you invest in branding, like, use it. This should make you money in the long run. Like, you know, use it to your advantage. And yeah, great retail is part of that, because you do, like, how many Nike t-shirts does one person own?
Sure.
Probably multiple.
Or
why? Because it's not just a swoosh.
Yeah. The Lululemon bag. And they put money, time, and effort into something that they could have just gotten away with a cheap version of. And now people are walking billboards for it. And it just, you know, and it's not about the material as much, and like, is it a high-end shirt or is it a basic tri-blend from, you know, Next Level or Bella Canvas? It's honestly, like, the best-selling stuff at Urban, and even like Rogue Fitness, I've got an entire video series on this, is like, it's their basic evergreen design that just looks good and ties to the brand. That, like, the most basic apparel generally sells the best.
I agree with you on the basic design. I disagree with you on the fabric. I think it should be good. Like, and you mentioned like Bella Canvas and
You don't want to have the t-shirt or anything like that. It's you're right. It could be good.
Don't put people in a $4 sandpaper shirt because you're cheapening the brand, right? Like, make sure it's a decent shirt that people will want to wear and that they can wash. So, like, that's the minimum, right? And then to finish off, I just kind of have this like before and after of what things used to look like and what they look like now. And, you know, I show this not to be like, haha, they were so shit before. It's more like it tends to translate like, this is the benefit of branding and of having your shit together and understanding what an authentic, clear, and consistent brand looks like and what it can do for your business. Because on the left, there's confusion, and on the right, there's cohesion, and it sends the message that this is a place that has it together. This is the place that you can trust.
Yeah.
So then the last part of this that I just want to show people is what's like, what happens at the end of all of this? Like, the question that you get, like, what do I actually get? And this is the brand manual. I'll just switch screens. And what you get is you go to mybrandmanual.com/ and for them, it's Radiant Fitness, password protected. And everything about your brand is located in one place. It's not in a PDF somewhere. It's not in a random folder on like your admin person's desktop. It's all in one link. All the values are there, beliefs. So like if you're onboarding a new coach or someone, you send them here and they can learn about the brand and what's expected really quickly.
Yeah.
And then all the assets, the logos, everything can be downloaded. And it's kind of like a how-to of how to deal with your brand, and everything is there. So everything we just showed is downloadable. It exists here and there's no confusions, because you're going to hand this over to someone and you're going to tell someone to make shirts for you. The signage person is going to need to know your colors. And if they have one central place to go to, there's less chance of someone making a mistake and creating a problem for your brand.
So I've said this to our new clothing man, the new company we're using for clothing. And I sent them the brand manual that you made for us. And they literally, I got like two emails back probably within minutes. So like, this is by far the happiest I've ever been working with a client, because I've never had a client send me their brand manual. I have to ask these questions analog style. And this was absolutely incredible. And I was like, it is. And this is great because it's a website I'm able to share with my team. You could download everything there. Like the end of this, like everything you guys just, you know, you heard us talk about it. If you watched the video, like you see it all. And then Boris just kind of puts it in this great fucking web page, private, password protected. It's, yeah, this is by far my favorite, was my favorite part. It was like receiving, that was like Christmas Day, like opening it up. And I know Jeremy had this too, because he was DMing me and we were going back and forth. He's like, man, I got my call with Boris coming up tomorrow. I'm super excited to see what we got. Like it feels like Christmas when your business is getting this brand new identity. It's shiny, it's crisp. It just, it's like everything that, again, that was in your head as a gas or maybe even a liquid. And then it just, it comes to, it's an actual solid, you could stand on it.
Awesome, man. I'm really glad to hear that actually about the t-shirt people, because it's that is like I've had it happen to me as a designer. Like, you know, I'll be like, oh, we need shirts. Like, where's the brand manual? And then there's two different versions of it, and it's just confusing, right? And like, you don't have that type of time. But and you're right. This is, like I always say, like branding should be the fun part of owning your business. Like, let the accounting be the boring stuff. Like, this is creativity. This is fun. Like, this is where you can kind of come out and it's a collaboration, and there's a lot of play involved. There's a lot of like, just, it's fun.
Yeah.
Right. Like I would like to think so at least, but yeah, that's how you build a brand.
Awesome. That's awesome. Guys, I appreciate you sticking around, whether you powered through the whole 90 minutes or so, or you broke this up into segments. If you, again, you're listening to the podcast, go back and check out any of the video assets I'll be creating. And then when you've got questions, take it to the fucking, to the magician himself. Shoot Boris a DM, look up Metcon Creative on Instagram. And if this is something you'd like for your business, you know, you kind of got a little jelly checking out all the great things that Jeremy's got going on, hit up Boris. Big props to Jeremy at Raging. Yeah, so thank you for letting us use you as a case study on here. Truly one of the best dudes ever. Great guy. And just nothing but love for him. And I'm excited for all the things he'll be doing here.
Absolutely, man. And like, I asked Jeremy, like, you know, can I share everything? He was like, man, talk about whatever you want. And I actually had a call with them, with Jeremy and his team yesterday. They got big things coming, man. Like, they have really taken this, and like, I'm proud. Like, because like I said, I want to give ownership of the brand back to the business, and they have taken it and run with it, and they're just doing a phenomenal job. And like, I couldn't be happier at, like, to have them as a client. So yeah, big props to Jeremy and his team.
And now my WTF part. If I swear to God, I'm going to go set my Google scrape alerts, and I swear on everything that's fucking holy, if I find any of you cocksuckers grabbing this stuff and running, like, ripping this off blatantly, and I find it on your website or your social media, you will be exposed in a video. I will literally eat your soul out of your ass. I will fucking eat your soul out of your ass. Do not do that, you lazy fucks. Book a call with Boris. And yeah, I just want to make sure we put the disclaimer on there at the end. I was like saving that for the end. I just, that's what happened. You know, you're going to put this stuff out and someone's going to just be like, oh, fuck yeah, work hard, be kind. And you're going to see it on four other gym stuff, and I will hunt them down.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. It's like a hitman. It's like a brand hitman. Send the invoice, bro.
Exactly. Alrighty, guys.
The way you said it, I feel like you're kind of hoping it would happen so you can make that.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Branding with Boris. Until next time, we will talk to you soon.